Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Creative writing, it's a gift, but you can also take it as a class. Dr. Courtney Hughes-Wyka is Associate Professor of English at Black Hills State University. Dr. Duncan Barlow is a lecturer of English at the University of South Dakota. And today at 4 p.m. at the Black Box Theater in Woodburn Hall at Black Hills State, the two bring you some creative writings. And they join us now in the Sue W. White Studio at Black Hills State University. Dr. Hughes-Wyka. Wyka, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
And Dr. Barlow, thanks for being here as well.
Thank you for having me.
Courtney, let's start with you and talk a little bit, because there's news coming out of Black Hills State and an expansion of offerings for students. Tell us a little bit about that, please.
Yes, we are incredibly excited to unveil our creative writing minor this fall. For students who are interested in honing their creative writing skills, becoming authors, going into the publishing world, the editing world, or really anybody who's trying to pick up those soft skills that are incredibly important in any field that they're going to be venturing into post Black Hills State. And so it's 18 credits of creative writing and literature, and our core is really a study in craft, and then our electives are intensive studies in the genres, such as poetry and fiction. Those are the two we'll be offering here in the next year.
So this is pretty exciting for those of us who have studied writing in the state, at the state universities, for it to expand to Black Hills State in a more meaningful way. I mean, it was there already, but Courtney, we also talk a lot on this show about tech education and workforce development, and so it feels like an act of courage as well to provide a minor in creative writing and encourage those artists to move into a trade, because writing is kind of a blue-collar job.
Well, and I think there's that misconception, right? When we think about some of our majors like creative writing, English, philosophy, what are we going to do with them after we graduate? But one of the top skills that, you know, yields promotions or even just hiring is good communication skills, good writing skills.
Right.
And further,
I'm revealing some of my personal opinions there, because it's also important to provide the studying of craft for people who really do want to go into this as a life and as a career.
Absolutely. And so each of our courses are really tuned to, you know, the intro courses to studying elements of the craft, introduction to genre. And then our later courses are really about form and technique and kind of figuring out what kind of writer you are and where you fit and where your voice is.
Duncan Barlow, tell us a little bit about the tradition of writing programs at the University of South Dakota. They go way back.
They do. We have one of the oldest creative writing PhDs in the country. We have well-established traditions within our department. We have the South Dakota Review, which has been going on for some time. We have a Milton Conference, which we're doing actually at the end of October this year. That's been going on since about 1996. I have brought into the university Astrophil Press, which is a literary publisher. We have a long-standing history of encouraging and, you know, recruiting for the creative arts, but also in helping our students at undergraduate, graduate levels understand the diversification within specialization, where they can take those skills and transition, as Courtney said, into other jobs like advertising, broadcasting, education.
Right. Tell me a little bit about the value as well from for those who do want to stay and be writers, the importance of really having writers grown right here in South Dakota to write eloquently about South Dakota topics.
Well, I think that's a very good question. I think it's the people here, as Courtney said, it's like almost like we have three states within one state here, and I think the views of everyone from South Dakota, they're commonly overlooked because we're not from the coasts. So being able to help these writers hone their craft and find their voice and really strengthen their work is important because there's so much happening in the state that people really should know about.
And in the moment, we have Ellen Forty, the author, and Dr. Leah McCormick on October 23rd as part of the Milton Conference. So at University of South Dakota, we'll be talking about that more in the future. Today's event at 4 is a reading with a gathering of authors. Dr. Hughes-Wyka, tell me a little bit about the program this afternoon, and then we'll ask for some readings from both of you.
So the readings this afternoon are part of our Geek Speak lecture series, and there are five of us who are coming together, from across the state. One thing that's really fun is that the three of us from Black Hills State are actually products of USD's graduate program in creative writing.
Nice.
So it's really kind of a kinship gathering this afternoon. And so we will have creative nonfiction readings. We will have prose and poetry and just, a diverse array of voices. And hopefully we will be able to sit down, too, with some of our outstanding English majors and talk to them about the opportunities for writing in South Dakota.
All right. What will you read for us today, Courtney?
I am going to read two poems from my chapbook titled Perch. And the first one is The Art of Disappearing. My grandmother taught me the rules of sadness, of stone hearts and game shows, of the necessity of grease burns for the pleasure of fried chicken, of whole galaxies in the orbit of cigarette smoke, of empty beds and unfinished books, and of unquestioning love. And my grandfather wrote the addendum of forgetting. The revisionist history of haled-out wheat and hot beef sandwiches, of coffee cups dredged for time, of arcades and the comfort of lime sherbet, of the prosperity of diesel engines and fresh-cut grass, and the weariness of worn-out bodies. From both I learned we are infinite until we aren't, and that it's true it begins the way you think it will end, in silence and with a trick of the light. A single shoulder blade slips translucent, a wrist twists pellucid in the sunlight, gossamered fingers slip through solid objects until you are but a comet trailing dust and ice disappeared to the world. My second one is titled The Anthropologist. If she so desired, she could strip herself invisible because she can split the delicate tendons between her fingers just by breathing. And she's learned that broken bones sound like embarrassment and pratfalls taste like hospital hallways. When she inhales, whole cities inside of her collapse because her ribs are packages wrapped too tightly. When she exhales, the words hamster wheel behind her teeth because she forgets to let them out. There is a certain scent to disorder, to deafening silences between misunderstanding and cumbersome conversation, the awkward jut of bone when she attempts to flee politely. She cannot smile on demand, so please do not ask her if she's been imagining love for a very long time. She cultures loneliness under ideal conditions and optimal temperatures, and there is no control.
Dr. Courtney Hughes-Wyka, Associate Professor of English at Black Hills State University. Dr. Duncan Barlow, what would you like to read for us today as we sort of preview the event at Black Hills State at 4 o'clock?
Well, I will be reading something different at the reading, but for the sake of this, I found something I can fit in the time. It's a small chapter from my forthcoming book in March, which had a name but right now doesn't because I've rethought it. It'll be out on Stalking Horse Press. The chapter is where the character gets a call that his father has passed, and the chapter kind of captures that sort of disembodied nature when you've lost someone. Language, at least that's what it's meant to be. The click and hiss and awe, but it was sound, nothing hitting the ear quite right, a mouth hitting the drum on an off rhythm. in the fold of the ear, hairs and bones, small, small, small. My skin tingled, eyes swelled, the skin tightening, wrinkles smoothing, perhaps. I forgot about the other person in the room, about the television, about the dog nuzzled into my armpit. My muscles contracted, legs straightened, the light became unbearable, the weight of breath impossible. The door squeaked and the floor moaned. There was still a voice, still words that have forgotten how to be language, sounds, movement and small things shifting. I repeated these sounds. I nodded, gave other nonverbals that were lost through the phone, hung up. There was something prickling my skin, hundreds of things, grass. I was lying down, staring at the sky. I could remember lying down. I was watching TV. I was watching TV and the phone rang, vibrated, then my back was against this ground. Light hit me, the neighbor's car, as they rolled in from dinner. They spoke, a question of what I'm doing. I replied, just looking. Looking at what, I wondered. Stars, I said to myself, barely audible. Juliana's voice from the door, and another question. Stars, I said. Perhaps not the answer to her question. And she sighed. She asked another, no. The door closed. She knelt next to me, kissed on my forehead, left. Her car stereo, boom, 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 and gone. I tried to remember my father's face, project it, a new constellation. I knew this was coming. I'd spoken to the doctor, forced him to speak to me directly. There was no feeling in me, a vast network of wet organs shifting. I was only aware of my body as a machine, my chest rising, falling, rising. When would it stop? The lungs in me that came from my father, the ghost of my father in every part of me. When would the world's machinations suspend me, cool my flesh, my breath, and my eyes? There was a gurney somewhere, a body draped in something like a sheet, a thing that was no longer my father, no longer human, waist shaped like someone who I once knew, once loved, and a brug. A bug crawled in my ear. Its throng of legs tickled me, circling the inside until there was a long screech, almost quiet enough to miss. The dog scratched at the door. The stars remained still, perhaps long since dead. The light a ghostly gravestone. The opposite of a body. And a drunk walked by. He asked me a question, and I said, fine. I stood. My knees popped, my head fogged, I tilted forward, about to keel over a step and was righted. I entered the house, pet the dog, stared at the couch, and it took me some time to remember it, to remember the room, to remember my name and my skin and my life. The dog licked me, her tongue warm and damp. I backed to the wall, slipped to the floor, pulled the dog between my knees, buried my nose into her head, kissed her, and sighed. Stars, I whispered. We are not stars.
Well, you two need to come back again in the future. Thank you for this. What a gift at the end of our show today. Go see them and others at the Black Box Theater in Woodburn Hall at Black Hill State University this afternoon for the Geek Speak Lecture. It's at 4 p.m. Mountain Time. Dr. Courtney Hughes-Weika and Dr. Duncan Barlow, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
They joined us from the Sue W. White Studio at Black Hill State University.